And now we come to essay number 7, which is entitled The World Which Is at the Basis of the Sense Organs. Rudolf Steiner starts. He says, in order to characterize the astral man, one must point to the threefoldness of sense imaging, desiring, and the impulses for motion. The ego man, insofar as it is directly experienced in its sense processes, this ego man shows itself as a unity. All the sense experiences are only, as you can deduce from the preceding essays, all these sense experiences are only differentiated, modified stages of the ego experiences, abgestufte Erlebnisse, step down ego experiences. In the experience of the ego itself, man stands in a direct connection with the supersensible world. The other ego experiences are mediated to him through organs, and through these organs they reveal themselves, the ego experiences reveal themselves in the manifoldness of the sense domains. Now, it is quite easy to follow up to a certain degree in the two organs, with the two organs. You can follow, in the case, you can with the two organs, with the sense of concept sense and the Lautsinn, the sense of sound. With these two organs of the concept sense and the sound sense, one can very easily follow the development of the sense capacity up to a certain degree. With the perception of a concept, they show themselves, they manifest themselves, those concepts which have been acquired by the human being in his preceding life. These concepts show themselves as something which is able to take up the new concept. Man demonstrates for himself, for the new concept which enters into him, he demonstrates an understanding for the new concept which enters into him to the degree in which previously he has already taken up into himself this concept or that concept. In the understanding of a concept, there accordingly exists an opening of the human being towards the external, and a sinking in of that which is taken up into the network of that concept organization which is already present. The life which there unfolds itself, blossoms itself towards the external, and roots itself into the concept organization, the concept organism. Something similar occurs for the sound sense, the sense of sound. For a new sound significance, man is accessible to a new sound meaning to the degree in which he has already acquired for himself other sound Lautbedeutungung, other sound meanings. So you can say that man really carries within himself a concept organism and a sound organism. Both of these must be present. The concept organism and the sound organism must be present before the ego experiences can occur through the concept and sound organism. The ego man cannot produce effect, the production, the manufacture, the preparation of this sound and concept organism. He can't produce this sound and concept organism through those forces which lie within the life of the senses. And still a third element is necessary. The ego unfolds its experiences, as it were, to all sides. In this experience, it, as the ego unfolds its experience to all sides, in this experience, it cannot experience itself. In order to experience itself, it must confront its own experiencing. It has to confront itself as a sensation. So you see, the sensation, the perception, the sensation of the ego, the experiences of the concept sense, the experiences of the sound sense are brought to confront the ego through three organisms. These two other organisms, one can count still the ego organism. If you remain still with the previously mentioned picture, so you can say that the ego experiences unfolds itself to all sides. It roots itself in one side, to one side, in a supersensible world of equality to itself, of similar to itself, and then it strives into the concept organism and the sound organism in such a way that its own experience grows to meet it, as if in the as if it brought a blossom to development in the ego organism and the concept organism and the sound organism. Just as a blossom is brought to development, so does the ego organism and the concept organism and the sound organism come to development, come to a blossoming. If one represents to oneself the human being, man, as a being of the sense world, as it is incorporated in him in the designated direction, if you do that, so you must conceive of the contrast of above and below. From the above to the below is a direction in which one can conceive of the unfolding of the ego experience. The ego experience unfolds from above to below, and confronting it, coming from the below to the above, you have this unfolding of the ego organism, which grows towards the ego experiences, towards which the ego experiences grow. The ego organism growing from below towards the above is confronted by the ego experiences which come from below, from above to below. The ego experiences coming from above to the below meets the ego organization which grows from below to the above. As the leaves place themselves on the leaf stalk in the plant, unfolding themselves from below towards the above, so they attach themselves to the ego organism, the network of the structure of the concept organism and the sound organism from above to below. If as is justified according to our previous considerations, if it is said that the original, the primal ego experience unfolds itself out of a supersensible world, so it can therefore be assumed that for the forming of the ego concept, forming of the ego organism, it can be said for the forming of the ego organism and for the forming of the concept organism and the forming of the sound organism, that at their coming into existence, forces must work which possess the same material which lies before us in the ego experience. Only this material builds itself up in structures which already must be there if the ego experience can be perceived in a sense-type way. From this we can conclude without further ado that the human ego experience is such an experience that flows out of a supersensible world, but which can be perceived only first when it roots itself into an organism which in itself is a structure, a network of ego, concept, and sound organism. One can also say it roots itself in an organism which unfolds itself in which unfolds its sense organs in these three organisms of the ego, concept, and sound. Now, you have to add to this what I described previously to you about the astral body. In reference to the astral body, their point, their indicate, in connection to the nature of the astral body, they indicate the sense imaging, the desiring, and the moving impulse of the astral man. Now you can very easily realize that in the ego organism, a image sensation is given which has not arisen through a sense experience, since the ego organism is indeed the ego experience itself, which confronts itself in the opposite confronting direction. In the concept organism, one can cognize forces which unfold themselves within the inner being of man, within the astral man, which unfold themselves within the astral man as desiring. An exact self-mindfulness will be able to notice in the attraction which the concept organism has for new entering concepts. You'll recognize easily the desiring of this concept organism. A similar situation applies itself also for the sound organism. It develops this desiring for new significances, new meanings. And so out of that, one can cognize the activity of the astral body in the coming into existence of the ego, concept, and sound organism. Now, a human being who does not experience his ego within his inner being as man does, but a being who observes things from the outside, he would be able to follow the arising of the ego organism, of the sound organism, and the concept organism. Such a being would itself experience, the ego experience itself in such a way that it does not permit anything of this ego experience to come into itself, but will permit it only to press to the border, to the grenze, to the border. And it's on this particular border that it would itself reflect back the nature of this ego. That would be an experience of a person who is able to follow the ego experience from the outside, not like the human being that follows the ego experience from within himself. You follow this, at the same time, you will understand the contrast of the so-called touch sense. In the case of the touch sense, the external world is contacted, but nothing of the nature of the external world is taken up. This is the same sort of thing which would occur with that being who, as we mentioned earlier, we assume is able to follow the ego experience from the outside. Whereas in the case of the touch sense, the ego stimulates its own experiences only through contact, thus experiences only its particular own content. That other being, that being who can follow his ego experiences from the outside, that ego being presses its own content into the ego experiences in such a way that the inwardness of the ego experiences becomes an ego perception. Thus, when the ego perceives itself, so that occurs as a consequence of its activity, which is of a same content as its own experience, and distinguishes itself from this only through the fact that it shows itself its own being from the outside, whereas the ego of this assumed being can be experienced only in itself. Now, if you can understand everything I've told you right now, Rudolf Steiner says, I'll give you a silver dollar. And you're just as liable to understand what I've just said, what Rudolf Steiner said, as I am liable to have a silver dollar. Okay? But let's proceed further. You might get something out of it. Up to now, Rudolf Steiner has tried to make us understand the special characteristics of the ego sense. Now he proceeds further. He continues. He says, in the case of the concept sense, now that assumed being, in the case of contacting the ego, not only do you have the radiating back or not only of the concept's experience, but it must shove back into itself. The concept experience must shove itself back, zurückschieben, into the ego experience, so that it can form itself to the network of the concept organism. It doesn't need to add anything to this concept experience, but all it has to do is to maintain it only within the concept experience. However, in the case of the sound organism, merely maintaining this sort of maintaining things will not be sufficient. Something must be added to the concept if it is to become a sound. Now, this hypothetically assumed being, this being which does not experience its ego from within itself as the man does, but is able to follow from outside the origin of the ego organism and the sound organism and the concept organism, this hypothetically assumed being must lead over something of its own content into the ego experience. So now, if we survey the relationships which we've just presented, you get the following conclusion, that in the ego organism, only the actual nature of the ego is reflected back from the external. In the concept organism, its own particular ego experience can be led back in another impregnation in itself through an external. In the sound organism, there then pours itself something out of the nature of the externality itself into the ego experience. Now that other assumed being, the hypothetical assumed being, must be able to perceive the ego organism as a reversed touch experience. It must perceive the forming of the concept organism as man himself perceives his own life processes through the life sense. Only there exists the difference that in the life sense, an inner network structure is perceived. However, that hypothetically assumed being must perceive in its corresponding way, in its corresponding sense, it must perceive the way in which it forms itself into the ego experience of man. In the sound sense, there is present a pouring in from the external. If such a hypothetically assumed external being would experience this, so this must be occurred through a reversed sense of its own movement. Through this, through its own, movement sense, man perceives his own movements. Through the reversal of this movement sense, that assumed being would perceive the motion inwards of its own nature in the ego experience. It would experience itself in the execution of an external motion of the ego human being. Now, if you understand all this, God bless you. Let's continue. Now, in the human being, his own life processes must be at the basis of the life sense. The life processes are able, can be, as has been shown, to be membered into breathing, warming, nutrition, secretion, Erhaltung, growth, and hervorbringing processes. The Erhaltung processes, that's the process which is able to convert the foodstuffs into such a nature as to maintain the organism, the maintenance aspect, the Erhaltung, the maintenance, and the Hervorbringung is that which occurs after the individual grows to reach a certain size. And that's been translated as the reproduction, procreation, but it doesn't mean anything at all about reproduction and recreation. It's what we mentioned earlier, that this Hervorbringung is the bringing forth of the final human being. All this is part of the life processes. So it continues. One can now represent to oneself, in fact, the process in the forming of the concept organs as a process of coming forth from the outside to the inwards, a direction from outside inwards. You can represent to yourself the forming of the sound organism as a growing inwards of a part of the assumed external being into the ego experience. Only one must conceive oneself that as the substance of this bringing forth and of the growth, the ego experiences themselves are utilized as the substance for this bringing forth and this growth. It is now possible, through an expansion, a further amplification of the assumed way of looking at things, also to interpret that which stands behind the other sense experiences. For the hearing sense, this experience presents itself in such a way that the sound points to an external object. The hearing organ itself, however, points to an activity through which it is formed in a similar way as the concept organism is formed through the reversed life sense, as the sound organism is formed through the reverse motion sense. Now conceive to yourself that the equilibrium sense shows itself in its reversed beingness. Instead of man producing in himself the proper orientation towards the three external directions of space, instead of that, he would, in this reversal, bring forth within his inner being another being rebelling, revolting against the three directions of space. If now the previously assumed external being confronts the human being in such a way that it would pour its own nature into the human being, and within it will be able to bring a rebellion against the three directions of space, then it would be able to work in such a way that the beingness which is poured into the innerus, the inner being of the ego experience, will be perceived as an inner experience. The activity of the reversed sense of equilibrium, however, would not be perceived, but would work in a similar way as the force which forms in the reversed life sense the concept organism, and forms in the reversed movement sense the sound organism. This gets worse and worse as you go along. Let's continue. In the rudiments of the hearing, then there works in an organ-forming way the reversed sense of equilibrium. So, sound points to it points an external thing which pours itself over into the ego experience. Points to this external thing in the inner aspect. The hearing organ points to a reversed sense of equilibrium, which in the human being gathers together its own being in a similar way and has inserted itself in an organic way as the reversed life sense gathers together and adds the concept experience. Then, that hypothetically assumed external being, according to its nature, will be assumed will be if that assumed hypothetically external being, according to its own nature, is assumed really as sound, which is permeated by a reversed sense of equilibrium, if that is done, so it can also be conceived that at the basis of the rudiments of the hearing, there is a process which enables the organ to be able to perceive the external being according to its particular content when it contacts the human being. It points to this external thing in the inner aspect. The hearing organ points to a reversed sense of equilibrium, which in the human being gathers together its own being in a similar way and has inserted itself in an organic way as the reversed life sense gathers together and adds the concept experience. Then, that hypothetically assumed external being, according to its nature, will be assumed if that assumed hypothetically external being, according to its own nature, is assumed really as sound, which is permeated by a reversed sense of equilibrium, if that is done, so it can also be conceived that at the basis of the rudiments of the hearing, there is a process which enables the organ to be able to perceive the external being according to its particular content when it contacts the human being, which as a sound flows into the ego experience, whereas the reversed sense of equilibrium represents the activity which is at the basis of sound, and out of which there has developed itself the hearing rudiment out of the organism towards the sound experience. Now, Rudolf Steiner, realizing perhaps that he hasn't done a very good job of explaining, he puts at the bottom of the manuscript what he calls his variante. He's going to tell you the same thing in a different way, hoping you do much better with this variante. We'll find out. Begin the variante. So sound points towards an external upon the inner. Sound points to an external, to an externality which pours itself into the inner being, which pours itself into the ego experience. This is Rudolf Steiner's complicated way of saying sound is something that comes into you from the outside, which is bloody obvious. So this is what he says. So sound points to an external aspect which pours itself into the ego experience, into the inner being. That's what sound is. The hearing organ points to a reversed experience of equilibrium, which gathers together in the human being the structure of his own being in a similar way, and organically adds how the reversed, it points to that, yes, okay. Hearing organ as a reversed sense or experience of the equilibrium, which in the human being gathers its own beingness in the structure and adds itself, just as the reversed life sense gathers up the concept experience and adds it together. The hearing organism is a reversed equilibrium sense. And the concept experiences are a reversed life sense. If then the hypothetically assumed external being, according to its nature, is really assumed a sound, which is permeated by the reversed sense of equilibrium, so it can also be conceived that at the basis of the arising of the rudiments of hearing, an actual essential nature is given in the external world, which in the sense experience of the equilibrium sense, just as you conceive the latter turned around, not perceived towards the inner being of man, but radiating through the towards the outside. End his very ante. You think you've done better now, gentlemen? Okay, now back to the main manuscript. The interpretation of the warmth sense yields itself if you conceive of it as the reverse of the smell experience. In the smell sense, the external substance pushes, penetrates into the human being, and the smell experience is a direct interaction with the stuff. The reversal will be given if the pre-hypothetically assumed external being would consist out of the content of the warmth sensation, but however would be permeated by an activity which enters to the human being in a direct interaction. Then there would stand behind the content of the warmth perception a activity which would build the rudiments of the warmth. It would be so that from it would outstream the warmth, just as smell streams out of a smelling substance. Just as the smell streams out from a smelling substance and spreads itself out in towards all sides in the external world, so there would be of that activity from all sides conceiving the human being striving away, and in this striving away developing the organ forming force for the sense of warmth. And just as the sense of smell reveals the external stuff, so must this activity reveal the human inner being. Such a revelation would be, manifestation would be given if the striving activity, if at the basis of the striving activity towards the external, there would be at its basis a life process, which means if this activity would fill up the human being with his own beingness. So you can say, at the basis of the warmth sense, there exists a kind of nutrition of the human being with that substance which reveals its content in the experience of the warmth sense. Now, if you want to interpret the sense of sight, you can conceive of it as a reversal of the taste sense. If the sight organ so came into existence through an external activity of a being, as has been assumed in that what we assumed hypothetically before, that for example the color would fill up this being, and with that, however, would be completely permeated by an activity which represents a reversed tasting, so this streaming out taste activity has to be conceived as an organ-building force for the sense of sight. The situation must so relate itself that not as in the taste experience you perceive the working of an external stuff, but that that being streams itself, its self-streaming taste streams to counter the human being. Just as in the sense of taste, you have the working changing, the substance of the is changed by the human being, so must that external being take over with the human being, in the inner human being, a change. Such a thing, however, is given in the life processes, for example, in the warming. The warming must yield itself in the human being from a tasting which is radiating out of the inner being. Only this warming would not so express itself as in an external warm process, because it does not have external warmth as its stuff, but it has as its content something which is similar to the sight sense experience. So you see that in this warming, which is irradiating out from the inner of the human being, which is given in the color of the assumed being's established activity, there you find the inner nature of light itself. Not the sight experience, but something behind the sight experience, something lying behind the science, behind the sight experience, the lying behind the inner nature of the light, stimulates a warming which lives in the organ-building force of the sight sense, just as stuff lives in the taste experience in the interaction with the taste sense. Here, Rudolf Steiner, I give you 0 marks for clarity, and Rick Mansell, I give you minus marks for translation. Lord, I'd be happy to see someone else suffer in producing a translation. It would make me happy to see them bloody well suffer, the same as I've suffered. Will I live to see the day when someone else would take this particular bloody thing and translate it and let me read it? Let me read his translation. In fact, the title of this bloody tape could be Suffer Along With Me. Back to the manuscript. The taste sense can be designated as a turned around smell sense. Only here, the turning around has another significance than applies to the comparison of the taste sense and the sight sense. You have to conceive for yourself that in the smell organ, such a reversal would occur, which does not send the smell from a substance into the human inner, but in the contact permits a repelling backwards, a repelling process, so indeed you would have an analogy given of the human taste organ. Only the human inner itself must take the place of that hypothetical being which I assumed previously to exist. This means that there must be assumed for the sense of smell in the inner being, you must presuppose the existence of an assumed external being of similar nature. Whereas, however, that hypothetical being in its nature comes from outside to the human being. So there must, for the sense of smell, its image, it's like its similar picture being closed within the human being. Insofar as the human organism represents itself as a stimulator of smell, is it of a, is it filled up by a being from the external which its nature is foreign to it? An external has become an innerer and develops from its inner being such forces as they are active for the organ formation of the sense, of the organ of sight, the organ of hearing, and the organ of warmth. It is realizable. You can realize, you can understand that in the sense of smell, something must externalize, which has to be made equivalent to the inner nature of the external. And if the sense of taste is a reversal of it, so it is justified to say that that which in the taste experience heranprout presses itself or goes itself, attacks itself on the human being, pushes itself on the human being as a revelation from the outside, is the same as that which works in the smell organism in the inner being. Then, however, there is between the taste sense and the smell sense the place where the external world and the inner world show themselves as being similar, and one is permitted to represent to oneself that behind the smell experience something stands which in the inner being of the human being really relates itself as a substance from the external world which can function in an organ-forming way, particularly, namely, in the building up of the taste organ. Thus, this is built up from the stuff of the external world, and in the smell organ is then to be conceived only according to the stuff streaming from the outside, which perceives itself directly as such in the smell experience. Smell perception, accordingly, can be considered as the self-perception of the stuff, and taste organ as the self-enlivening of the stuff. Now we come to the final paragraph of this whole bleeding essay, and bleeding is a correct word, because my stomach bleeds. These ideas are intended to point to the fact that behind the sense experiences, you need to conceive nothing further of a stuff nature, but you have to experience that behind the sense experiences, there are only things of a spiritual nature. And so from all this, you can say that the sense experiences are the revelations of the spiritual. Now we come to the final sentence. The sense observation reveals itself directly at the sense experience, but does not reveal the spiritual behind it. What amazing sentence. I repeat that remarkable conclusion, and this is Rudolf Steiner's remarkable conclusion, that the sense observation directly reveals the sense experience, but it doesn't reveal the spiritual behind it, as if you didn't know that before. This is a final conclusion of this essay. God bless you, Steiner. Friends, I don't know if I should continue on this assignment, this translation assignment. Better do it. Remember the Bible says, if you put your hand to the plow and start plowing the field, don't stop, but go on to the bitter end. So I'll go on to the bitter end, because perhaps as we go near to the end, I might be able to get something out of it, and perhaps you might too. Even if it's only an experience of frustration. End of tape.